So a little bit about me.
I was born and raised in Jerome. These are my beautiful kids, the backs of them. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know where Jerome is, it's about 15 minutes from Twin Falls. And I actually came to this school. I came to Idaho State University and got my degree in graphic arts and printing technology with an emphasis in advertising and videography. That is a mouthful. I actually met my husband here as well. And then we got married and moved to Idaho Falls and then had 4 kids. So I have 2 in heaven and 2 on this side of heaven. The little hearts that they're holding, this one is actually an urn for my oldest, and this one is in remembrance of my third. And my earthly children range from 7.5, or they are 7.5 and 4. And so the knowledge I'm sharing is geared towards that age range. I can't really talk about high school because I don't have any high schoolers. So, yet. Sometimes my daughter does have to act like a high schooler. You know how that is. So in addition to being a mom, I also work 4 other jobs. I am the graphic designer for my church, and I work for a magazine out of Boise called Idaho Magazine. I am their art director and their managing editor. And then I'm also a director for a community program in Idaho Falls called Classical Conversations. In my spare time, what's spare time? Anybody have spare time these days? I don't. I don't even know what that is. My spare time consists of me diamond painting with my daughter, or doing magnet tiles with my son, or playing games with both of them. But that's typically what a homeschool parent's life is like. You spend all day learning and just being with your children. So this is definitely a blessing. Homeschooling is definitely a blessing. I think we can all agree on that. But when it comes to my specific homeschool journey, I had no desire to homeschool. It was never on my mind. It was more because I was afraid I couldn't do it. I didn't think I could do it. I thought I had to be a lot smarter than I actually was and know all the subjects. And I was afraid I was inadequate to homeschool my own kids. And I was afraid I was going to fail them. And it wasn't until I was visiting with my aunt, who she homeschooled her 3 kids, and now she works in the public school system. And we were just visiting, and she was saying, like, you know, your daughter is very advanced. She will get so bored and not be challenged in kindergarten of all ages. I'm like, well, I knew she was advanced, but I didn't realize that, you know, that might have an effect on her and her schooling. And so I decided, okay, for the sake of my daughter, I thought maybe homeschooling would be something to look into. And I wanted to ask my husband about his concerns. Like, I wanted his input, and his biggest concern was he didn't want them to end up being weird, you know, from lack of socialization. So, yeah, we all know how that one is, too. So, with my fears in mind, I started researching what it takes to homeschool, along with discovering that Idaho is the freest state to homeschool. I also discovered how many types of curriculum there are, how many co-ops and communities and extracurriculars. And then I even discovered there were different types of homeschooling, like classical and traditional and Charlotte Mason and eclectic. And needless to say, I was pretty overwhelmed. And there's some I can't even pronounce. So it just felt super overwhelming. And the fears of making the wrong decision and choosing the wrong curriculum were now added on to my already existing fears of just messing up my children. But if you have those fears of being overwhelmed or socializing or, you know, failing your children, you are not alone. You definitely are not. It just means that you care. You care about your child's education. And I realized with the more I researched that homeschooling, I was kind of drawn to, everybody said you have to find a goal, a purpose to homeschool. And so I would like to know, what is your guys' goal for homeschooling? And raise your hands or blurt it out. What is your purpose or goal for homeschooling? I will share mine. Any ideas? Yes.
Well, our modular family is, we're farmers, and is to learn to love to learn. So I don't care. I really could care less if you have a grade that's good. I can care less if you can read good or not. I can care less. But as long as you're learning something, then you're on the right track. Whatever that is. And every child is completely different in perspective. So my goal is to teach, just love the idea of just learning something.
Love of learning, definitely. Does anybody else want to share? Like, no, let's get on with this. Let's go. Yes, did you have one?
So I was homeschooled. My mom, she homeschooled 10 kids, and I remember thinking, like, how did you do that? And there were years that we did not do school. And there were, like, multiple years there was... No! I remember asking after I started homeschooling kids, I was like, how did you do that, kids, you know? And she's like, you all knew how to learn, and you liked to learn. And so, and then, you know, kind of piggybacking off him, my personal, like, when I started it, I was always said, like, it's not to protect my kids and stuff, but now looking at the world and the education system, hands down, I'm doing it to protect my kids.
It's like an added bonus to what,
like,
your purpose
so
is already.
Yeah, so to it that it's like, oh, yeah, that's a big one for me.
Yes.
And as well as protecting, it's like you want them in your circle of influence, and that's an influence, and it's a relationship. You develop a totally different relationship with your children than you. I remember when my oldest son learned something I didn't teach him, it was like, where did you learn that? You know, he shocked me. He said, it was young enough that I thought, where did he learn it?
Yes.
It's just interesting. So I just think I did it for that circle of influence because it was a protection thing and just to develop those relationships that I wanted.
Yes, I love that.
I was going to say, I feel like, my oldest is 18, and I feel like I just barely last year kind of figured out, like, oh, what's my, like, homeschooling motto, goal type thing, and I realized I have this kind of breakthrough that, for me, it's, I want my kids to, I guess the best way I say it is to be beautiful people, beautiful of soul, beautiful of thought, and, you know, I want to have that, and to have, like, beautiful works, and beautiful things that come, and to appreciate things that are beautiful, you know? Like, in my mind, I kind of thought about the elves in Lord of the Rings. I want to be, like, eternal beautiful people, like, that, appreciate, you know, those types of things, and so that's kind of, in my mind, is a little bit of, like, that I want to be, like that, you know, that beauty in our lives.
Yes, I love that. You guys really touched on a lot of topics that I'm going to discuss here. Yes.
Reasons. We farm as well, and we needed their help a lot of times. And they were at school, because I have six kids, and the first few were in public school. And it was a big disadvantage because we needed their help, and the teachers would get on my case about attendance. And I'm like, these are my kids. Like, I can do with them what I want. If I want to take them out to help with harvest, I'm going to do it. And then with those, I wanted to be around these humans I've created. And that's not to say I don't get burned out on my kids. There's days I'm like, I need some alone time. But I have a little time for 5 minutes, and I'm like, where's my kids? Because, you know, in a realm of 80 or 100 years, we get them for maybe 18. That's not very long.
No.
And so I love being around my people.
I love that. Yes.
And then I get tired around them.
Yes.
I still want to be around.
Like, pros and cons, right? So my personal goal, after everything, I touched on every single one that you guys have talked about, and it came down to, I wanted to raise my kids with a Christian worldview woven into everyday life. That was my goal. And now that I had my goal, I can move forward and pick curriculum and extracurriculars and even co-ops and communities that supported my goal. I also researched testimonies and found classical conversations. Was I still overwhelmed by all the curriculum choices? Yes, that was not going away anytime soon. But I no longer thought I was inadequate for this position. I thought this is what God has given me kids for, is to raise them, teach them a love of learning, and have the Christian worldview woven into everyday life. So I wanted to teach them the reason for this. I wanted them to realize God was not just for Sunday, not just for Sunday school. And I had to figure out how to do that. So at the heart, this is the heart of everything I'm sharing today. I want to show you how I incorporate God into our everyday life. Not by adding more to your plate. We don't need to add more, like, devotions or Bible reading or anything. We don't want to add to what we're already doing. We want to substitute. We want to make simple substitutions. Small tweaks done consistently can have a huge spiritual impact over time. And they may seem like no-brainers, but again, take what you want from it and leave the rest. In my mind, I'm like, this seems like so obvious. Why didn't I think of this before? So, throughout my presentation, though, I will let you know, I'll be referencing or sharing different resources with you, not endorsing, I guess I'd consider endorsing them, but I'm not paid for any of them. These are just the resources that I use, and then you can go and search for your own resources as well if you'd like. So, we have the substitution ideas. Now, where do you incorporate them into your daily life? And I have separated my day into three sections, school, play, and evening. And I advise you to look at your own schedule, you know, on your own time, and kind of look at your schedule, your daily schedule, not your homeschool schedule, but your daily schedule, and kind of separate it out into this type, these categories as well, because everybody's is different. Now let me go through each of these in a little bit more detail. So what do you think is the biggest school substitution you could probably make? Yes, curriculum. We're on the same wavelength here. Yes, the biggest substitution you could probably make is your curriculum. And I've already mentioned that we do classical conversations. This is our choice of biblical curriculum for multiple reasons. But one of the main ones is because unlike public schools and maybe other curriculums, the subjects aren't separated. They're all integrated together with God at the center. And that was very important to me. So what you teach your child is important. So if you want to teach from a biblical curriculum, find one that follows your views. It makes it a whole lot easier to teach your kids. I also like Answers in Genesis for science. They take the a Christian worldview and apply it to science, which is a lot of the areas where you kind of get that, I don't know, muddy waters Answers in Genesis. Answers in Genesis. And they kind of, it basically like the Christian worldview of a science explanation, or they give you a Christian explanation of the science.
Is it kind of like Apologia?
That was my next one. Apologia is the next one. And honestly, I've added this one just because a lot of people that I know use this. I personally have never used it, but you can add this onto your list of looking up. But a lot of them really love this one. I just haven't had a chance to actually try it. In classical conversations, we do art and science projects every week. So we don't personally include that in our daily schedule. But for those who do have art and science, like you do those with your kids at home, then you can also do research. It's a lot about researching Christian science projects or Christian crafts that tie a Bible story in or just teach something about God. Those are just small substitutions that you can do for what you're teaching your kids curriculum-wise. How many of you guys have writing in your curriculum? You guys teach writing?
I hated it.
Hated it? Yeah. My daughter was not a fan, but she's getting excited now. She's like, I can read. I'm like, I know. I taught you that. So we do writing our curriculum, but what we do is copy work. So we take these little scripture cards, and actually it looks like this. So there's just a small verse on the back of it. And then my daughter, she copies it onto a sheet of paper, and that's her writing. And on some days where she just doesn't want to do her reading, she reads the verse, and that is her reading. That's what she practices with. But I thought, okay, if we're going to do writing, why not write scripture? Expose them to that instead of a regular or random book. Moving on to reading, though, how many of you guys do reading? Mm-hmm. Teach reading, or let them choose their books that they want to read, or do you kind of choose it for them? Both? Yeah. So again, some of these may seem like no-brainers, but you know. So our reading was, okay, if we're going to read a book, let's read some Bible stories. I really like this family Bible library. It has a character trait that you're learning about with the Bible story, and then questions and a prayer at the end. And the stories take like 5 minutes to read. Really like these ones. But these are a process to come by. So I also had used Hands-On Bible. Again, they're just, they're age appropriate. I think the blue one is for 6 to 12, and the green one is 3 to 5, I think. But they're age-appropriate questions, and they're stories to reach your child where they're at. But you're exposing them to these Bible stories at a young age as well, and that's what we did for our reading. So this is the bridge. We have music. Music is the bridge because you can use music in your schooling, and you can use music just for your fun playtime. So what we do is we use instrumental worship music. This is actually something I recently discovered. I don't know why it took me so long to, but it's just Sunday school songs or songs that you listen to in church, but instrumental, no lyrics. And so the kids are like, oh, I recognize that song. And it's pretty exciting for them. So we use that during the school time. And then we do worship. We just do like Pandora. We just have like a Christian Pandora station that we listen to during regular. That's all we listen to at home. But we also do what's called worship videos, worship music videos. Now, I'm one of those parents that don't have a problem with screen time, as long as it is productive and limited. We do watch YouTube. However, the YouTube they watch are like these. Woo! I have no idea what I just did. Let's go back. Press the wrong button. How's that? There we go. Worship motion songs. My son is on this kick. Like, he just wants to watch all of these worship, Christian worship motion songs. And he does all the hand motions to them, and it's really cute because he's trying to go like this, but all he can do is this or whatever. It's super cute. And so this is what I'm getting at is, don't underestimate the power of music in your schooling. I actually taught my kids the President song with a YouTube video. And now my 3.5-year-old at that time could recite the President's in order by name because of that YouTube song. So I consider that as screen time well spent. You're able to teach them, use the technology that is in our presence, but have it limited and intentional. Now we're going into the play options. So this is some games. We have a lot of Bible option games. And some of these games are even well-known games that you all know. What do you think Bibleopoly is kind of referencing? Monopoly, yeah. It's like a no-brainer, right? So you have these biblical options. Instead of Monopoly, there's Bibleopoly.
Are you building a church?
You are. You're building a church. You're building a church, and then you have, like, scripture. Little scriptures right here, and it's been a long time since I've played this. I've had this game since I was a kid. I loved it. My kids are still a little young to play it, but they're getting ready to play it. I never cared for Monopoly, but I did like Bibleopoly. And then also, you guys know Guess Who? That Guess Who game? You sit across from each other, and you're guessing the person that they have. Like, do they have white hair? Do they have glasses? Well, this is the Bible version of that. You know, Bible characters.
Make them say, like, the story. Like, you guess about the story.
Yes. Yes. Like, who swung a slingshot and hit Goliath in between the eyes? Like, oh, hey, David. My kids would know that one. They love the David movie. I don't know if you all have seen it, but it is great, and we watch it on repeat. The songs on YouTube, the song clips are on YouTube, and we watch it on repeat. Cranium. If you guys have played Cranium, they have a Bible version. I didn't know this. They have a Bible edition. And then they also have Apples to Apples Bible edition. So there are these options out there that you could just substitute if you play a game with your kids. Grab a Bible version. If you go to Born Again Bookstore in Idaho Falls, they have a website, and that's on my list of resources as well. They have a slew of Bible games, some that are kind of related, like, oh, this is the Bible version of it, and then there's just some that they're just strictly Bible games. There's no comparison to them. Same with puzzles. Grab a Christian-themed puzzle or an activity book. If you do allow your child screen time, put on a Bible-themed show. Yippee and Minnow are great streaming platforms, exclusively with Christian show options. We like Superbook. And please tell me you all know what VeggieTales is. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sing this on repeat. My kids love it. My husband just recently said, for somebody who's never watched VeggieTales before, you've got me memorizing the songs. So we sing it and we watch it a lot. So we like these ones. And we also like educational shows like Leapfrog and Magic School Bus and Liberty Kids as well. And then if your kids have phones or tablets that they play on, download some Bible app games. Bible App for Kids is a great app where you basically go through the Bible in stories, and you have an activity or a puzzle that you do in relation to that story. And it's very short. It's kid-friendly. They're reading you the story, and then the kids do the activity at the end. Yeah. Then there's also the Superbook. They actually have an app, too. They have videos. They have games. They have even older kid games, too. So this one is really geared towards older kids because it gets them thinking. And we also, again, like other educational games like ABC Yeah! And PBS Kids are some favorites, too. And now we're moving on to the evening portion. So evening for us is about connection as a family, because that's really when my husband is home and he can be a part of all these activities. So these are some ideas to start adding to your routine. So before I was talking about substituting in your schooling, you could substitute just slight things, and now you can add this to your evening routine. Hopefully you're done homeschooling by evening and you can relax and enjoy. So this is what you can add to it. Get the buttons working. There we go. So, reading character books or Christian books and just introducing them to those kind of stories in fun, kid-friendly ways. My daughter loves Bible Bells. She is obsessed with them. And she also likes the Princess Parables. That one's her favorite because she loves horses. Something that's related to them, and they can actually, like, ooh, I like this, and it's actually teaching a Christian story. I believe the Princess Parable, the horse one, is about the, where the guy gets passed by the three people. The Good Samaritan. Yes, I got it. I got it. My brain is working now. The Good Samaritan is based off of the Good Samaritan. So that's introducing and exposing them to that. And my son personally likes books. These are so cute. They are adorable. Which is good to have too, because, you know, God teaches us about controlling our emotions, not letting our emotions control us. And so this is a good tie into that as well. We also make sure to end our day with a bedtime prayer and a kid's Sunday school song or a lullaby to help them sleep. And it just ends their day right. Now, if your kids are older, and I will get more into this in a little bit because it is a bigger and a more passionate thing that I wanted to talk about. It's called a heart-to-heart talk. And we've added that to our nightly routine. Like I said, I will explain that pretty soon. But first I want to briefly touch on what you do for your little ones. How many of you have, like, little ones, not quite school age yet? Okay, so these are kind of for you. So this is the time for planting seeds. So what I mean by that is they're learning through songs and they're learning through play. And there's a reason why they have, like, nursery rhymes, is because this sticks with them. Songs and hand motions, they're learning through play, that sticks with them. And so they, you want to be intentional with what you're teaching them. Teach them some core truths at this time. Teach them Bible stories. Teach them armor of God, the fruits of the Spirit, the Ten Commandments, books of the Bible. Like I said, the key Bible story is David and Goliath, Jesus' birth and crucifixion, Adam and Eve. Teach them those core stories when they're in fun ways. Like, again, you can use YouTube and look up hand motions and songs that go with it. My son, he knows how to sing the fruits of the Spirit. He knows the fruits of the Spirit. Do they understand it? No, but you're exposing them to this information. And plus, they're fun, catchy songs. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, you have older kids. How many of you do have kind of old kids like my age that are like between 4 and 8? Oh, good, you're in the right class. Okay, so some options that you can do, this is also for as they're a little bit older, they can read on their own. Give them some Christian authors to read and have them, like, you search for the books and they're like, hey, let's go check out these Christian books at the library, or, you know, buy some that you are familiar with. Memorize, don't just memorize scripture, but analyze the scripture, talk about it with them. And then also serving others is a great way to work on their character as well, like helping out at their VBS or helping out at a soup kitchen. Those are great ideas for older ones as well. So all these suggestions help your child's faith. And the exposure makes it so that God is a part of their everyday life, and he's not just someone that they talk about on Sunday. They are hearing about him in songs and watching about him in videos, learning about him in puzzles, and basically, he's a part of their everyday routine. You're not adding something special to your routine. You're just tweaking it a little bit. And that way, it's not quite a shock when you say, okay, hey, we're going to write some scripture today, or hey, we're going to watch this movie today, or read this Bible story. You guys are reading and writing anyway. We're just kind of shifting our focus a little bit. But this is just the beginning. I'm about to get probably deep here a little bit. This is just the beginning. They have had that exposure, which leads them to knowledge, but they don't have that understanding, so you want to kick it up a notch. So to help their faith grow, you accomplish this by encouraging their curiosity and answering their questions. When it comes to learning and media, we aim for balance. We choose Bible stories, Christian puzzles, faith-based shows when possible, but we don't make everything a rule. Some things are non-negotiable, like our curriculum, and maybe our writing scripture. That's okay. And if you notice that you're implementing this and your children are like, oh, I'd rather do this option, that's not the Christian option, that's okay too. You're the parent. You're in charge. Tell them, okay, let's compromise. We'll do one on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We'll do a Christian option on Tuesday, Thursday. We'll do your option. Because you don't want to force it, because that will just lead to resistance. Something I do with my daughter, she is really into fashion, and so I found a Barbie fashion game that she could play, strictly dressing up. And I say this, I'm using an app as an example, because we don't really compromise in our writing and reading. We're reading the Bible, we're writing scripture. That is what we do. So a lot of our compromises are during their playtime with shows or puzzles that they want to do. So I have a rule for her. When she's playing this game, she has to do 20 math problems before she's allowed to play the game. And she does. She knows that that's what she has to do before she plays it. She goes, Mom, I'm going to do my math problems. I'm like, okay, why? So I can play my game. Okay, sure. Of course, that's when I say, yeah, you can play your game. But she's like, okay, I'm going to do my math problems. And then she's also only allowed to play 3 rounds of that game, because she can be on that for a long time, creating awesome fashion designs. So you have these rules. You set these limits. You have these parental guidance. You know, you do what you should for your family. But the important thing is that if I said, no, we're not doing that, it's not Christian-based, you know what kind of pushback I was going to get. She's like, well, why can't I do this? And, you know, it's just sometimes easier just to compromise, but have it be within guidance. Faith should feel natural, not forced. Offering Christian options without force. Ooh. I lost my... Sorry. Yes, some parents worry that too much God will push kids away. In my experience, pressure pushes kids away, and inconsistency. So exposure does not. Christian options without force invites curiosity instead of resistance. I'll say that again. Offering Christian options without force invites curiosity instead of resistance. They will eventually be curious as to why these are these options. At a young age, they don't understand. They don't care. They're just going on with what parents are saying, what you are saying to them. But as they get older, like my child, she's questioning everything. And you need to be prepared for those moments when they do start asking why. Why are we listening to this music? Why are we reading this Bible story? Why is it wrong to lie? Why am I writing and memorizing scripture? These questions are coming, if they haven't already. They aren't asking them to start an argument, though. They're asking out of genuine curiosity. They're curious about their world and why you are making them do these things. Sorry, what is that cowbell? And you need to give them answers that build a strong foundation for them to say is when they are young and curious and still look to you for answers, which should not be because the Bible says so. I was told that a lot. I don't know about you guys, but that was what I was told a lot. Your answers will either grow their faith with understanding or hinder it because your answer was lacking the reasoning they needed to understand it. For instance, to the question, why are we listening to Christian music or watching this Christian show? The first step, brush up on your Bible. Make sure you know your scripture. Tell your child that the Bible warns us to be careful of what we listen to, Mark 4:24. And what we listen to has an impact on our thoughts, and our thoughts control how we live, Proverbs 4:23. Then you say, I want you to think in God-pleasing ways and follow God's path for your life, so we are filling our ears with songs of praise to God and watching shows that teach you about God. Again, the information I'm sharing with you is geared towards those that have young kids, not quite teenagers, because they'll still come to you for these answers, and that is a sufficient enough answer for them. You gave them a reasoning behind it. So with this answer you're giving, you're of course quoting scripture, which is great, but you do need to help them understand as they're getting older. Why are you using the Bible as your resource? Don't just teach them Bible verses, teach them about Bible history. Connect biblical history with regular history. Explain not just what you believe, but why you believe in God and why you trust the Bible. You will need to probably invest in a theology workbook or resource. I recently started using a theology study guide called Rivona. It's also on my list as well. But you know, feel free to research your own. I just recently started doing it. It's really great. It answers those why questions with purpose. You're actually really digging into the foundation that you have set. It's not just shallow. So teach them also about other religions and about the art of comparing. Teach them how to properly research a topic, how to look for credible resources, how to spot fallacies. This does take more effort in teaching your child than, say, you know, teaching them about photosynthesis, but the result of this knowledge will impact them and teach them and help them when they face hard questions or if someday their faith gets challenged, which in my opinion matters more than academics and what kind of volcanoes there are. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't want to be a dictionary or an internet browser. And like what you said, I don't know your mom's name.
Oh, Lynn.
Lynn, like you said, about relationship, that connection. You want them to come to you when they want to know something. You don't want them to prefer talking to somebody online or, you know, in our case, AI now. So you really want to build that connection with them and right now is when you do it. Academics, biblical worldview, that does matter. But connection with your child comes first. If my children are having a hard time, then I say, okay, hey, let's put on a worship video. Let's get our wiggles out. Let's do a worship video. I go back to my Camp Birkin days with a camp song, and I start doing the hand motions with them, and they love it. Camp Perkins, yes, I love it. It's like radical God, and you're like, woo! Like, they love it. So, and it just resets their little brains, you know? And I say, okay, let's do that. And then there's some days where my daughter's like, she's just having a hard time, and she wants to sit on my lap, and we do our reading while she's sitting on my lap. Or we just skip our math completely because she is just curious and has these questions on her heart that she just can't focus on until she gets it out. One of those, yeah, so dig deeper. So I'm going to touch on dig deeper a little bit. It's my own invention, probably. I haven't actually researched it or anything. I just know that some days my daughter just has questions about the world, and she's curious and wants to know more. And so what we do is we take a little blurb of what we learned, our CC curriculum. We're learning about history. She has a question about history. I'm like, okay, let's dive deeper. Let's dig deeper into this. What questions do you have about history? And we just talk, like, I don't know, 30 minutes sometimes. We just go down these rabbit holes of connection. And some of her best learning is during that dig deeper time. My son, he doesn't care. He just does the history, and then he goes off and runs and plays. So this is a good time to have that connection with her because she is so full of questions. And another way we cultivate our relationship is we have one-on-one time every day. If you make time to squeeze 10 or 15 minutes of uninterrupted playtime with your kids, you'll see that they're not craving your attention as much when you need to get other stuff done. And for me, with my four other jobs, if I have deadlines to do, they allow me to work when I need to, and they go play on their own. If I don't get that one-on-one time in, forget about my deadlines. It's not happening. Now, as I'm sure you've noticed, my daughter is very curious. As I said, we could talk for hours some days, but alas, I do not have the ability to do that. So something my daughter and I started doing a couple years ago, this is the heart-to-heart that I mentioned. The heart-to-heart talks in the evening, we would talk for a few minutes about whatever was on her heart. This is different than dig deeper. The dig deeper is more about schooling, something that you're curious about in school. This is anything. Like, it could be she has problems with her friends being mean to her. And some days it's like, what's the difference between a snow leopard and a leopard? You know, whatever her heart, whatever on her heart and mind. That is the time that she just unloads everything. And honestly, sometimes it is just about animals, because she loves animals. So whatever she wants to talk about, that's our time to talk, uninterrupted. And I strongly suggest doing this when they are young, because as they get older, this will be a special time for you guys to do, and you have a little bit more like strenuous topics, like, I'm not even going to go into those, but you know what I mean, life problems that they are dealing with. And this just kind of sets that foundation for that ability to do that as they're older. My son has even noticed. He's noticed that we're doing these talks. He goes, Mommy, I want our talk too. He's like four. So I'm like, what do you want to talk about? He goes, I like Lightning McQueen. I'm like, okay, great. He goes, okay, I'm done. And he just goes up. Like, okay, well, he's going to get ready to start doing the heart tarts soon, and I'm really excited for that. Now, I know, like, okay, so how many of you guys probably have more than two kids? Yeah, do you have more than three? Four? Ten? Okay. Maybe five, six, seven. So if you have more than two kids, you're probably thinking, well, I won't be able to fit this in with my kids' schedule or with my own schedule. But let me tell you a kind of hard but loving truth, and you probably already know this. We make time for the things that truly matter to us. If you find connection with your kids valuable and want to nurture that, then you will make this work. And I'll give you some examples. Whether it's giving your child, each child a day of the week, or you can set a timer when you're with your child so that you don't go over. It's like, okay, now it's time to move on to the next child. And they'll get it. They'll understand. Or you do your younger child's before bedtime, and you do your older children after bedtime. Whatever you think will make it work, you will make it work for your family. All families are different, so you got to figure that out for yourself. But I will say, I do work a couple hours in the afternoon. That's my time to work. And then I work in the evening. That is also my time to work after I put the kids to bed. And without fail, my daughter makes sure I do these heart-to-heart talks. It is her favorite part of the day, and it has become my favorite part of the day because it forces me to slow down and just be with her and connect with her. And I will say, I don't set the timer very much. Sometimes it goes for an hour. I'm like, girl, you gotta get to sleep. I'm falling asleep here. But it's okay, because that is that connection that she is craving that she doesn't usually get during the day. And this matters more to her than anything else during the day. And I'm really excited for my son to get to this point. So.
You all.
It may not last as long, but it is coming.
School, then it's midnight. They want to talk. About
yes, and that's why we shifted their bedtime earlier so that we could get this in. Again, what works for your schedule? This is a snapshot of our daily rhythm. Now, this is not a model you must follow at all. This is just what we personally do. When I said I separate school, play, and evening. This is what I came up with. And in my schedule, I have to stick to a schedule. There are some parents, you probably do very eclectic homeschooling. You don't follow a schedule. It's random every day. Good power to you. I wish I could do that, but I cannot. I have deadlines that I have to do, so I have to have a structured schedule. There is, that's during the school time, is during the morning, before lunch. We get it all done. And then after lunch is playtime, my work time, their one-on-one time. Cleaning, tidying, whatever they want to play with. And then evening time is time with dad, and then our evening connection time. So now watch what happens when I just discuss all of those substitution ideas. Watch what happens. See the difference? Better one? Or two? One? There's not much of a difference, is there? Nothing really elongated. You didn't add more to your schedule. The changes are made in bold. In the mornings, we set the tone. We do worship music videos. And I don't even have to put them on anymore. My son comes and he's like, Mom, can I watch a worship video? He's so excited for this. I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. Go turn it on. Watch some worship videos before you have to get working. We start our day off with that. And we use biblical worldview curriculum. We use our classical conversations. And our dig deeper conversations. And since our classical conversation curriculum is integrated with God, some of our conversations, our dig deeper conversations, turn back to God. So that's like an extra bonus. And then our writing scripture replaces regular scripture. And while my son, he does his fruit of the spirits, while my daughter's doing her writing, because she doesn't need my help with that. So I teach him the fruits of the spirit and the armor of God. So that's when I do that with him. And then for our break, we read the Bible. My kids love to read. That is their favorite thing to do. They love to read. And so we read the Bible story. My daughter asks for two or three. I said, no, just one today. And then we do our math and our math lesson, and then lunchtime. And then they do, they have an activity that they can do. They can do a puzzle. They can do, sometimes they watch the David song. Like, okay, three David songs, and then turn it off. Mommy needs quiet. So these changes, they don't take more time. They're just substituting what you're already doing. They're shifting your focus. So we've talked about what substitutions you can make during your school schedule and what you can add to your evening schedule. But what about what you can do for you as a parent? So here are three suggestions, and I'll go through them pretty quick. First, I will say this. From experience, you will get tired of those kid songs. If you're just playing kid Christian songs, you will get tired of VeggieTales. So add your own music into it. Get some really good, Phil Wickham, get some really good artists that fill your soul. Mix them in with your kids' songs. Second, print out some inspirational quotes or scriptures and tacky them around your house, even up on the ceiling if you're looking up there in exasperation a lot during the day. Just have that there for extra encouragement. And third is, I got scripture screenshots. Who here does a daily devotion? Oh, I feel so much better. Okay. Great. More power to you. Love it. I can't do them. I suck at them. I'm awful at them. I try. I fail miserably. So I don't do the daily devotions. I wish I could. But I do keep scripture accessible with those posts around my house. But I also, you're scrolling. Maybe you're on, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. You come across a scripture, a very inspirational quote. Screenshot it. Save it. Put it on an album in your phone. What I do is I put, I just have a handful of prayers in my back pocket, and I make an album, I put it on my home screen on my phone, and those times where I just need a little bit more strength to practice patience and self-control. On days when my kids are battling me with every decision, even the days when I'm stressed with deadlines and they just want my attention, those prayers have come in handy. And these are some examples of those types of screenshots. So when I'm feeling overstimulation and my children refuse to listen, I have an album on my phone, and it just enables me to get to it quicker. That's all it is. It's so I need a few minutes, find a verse, okay, just take a breath, read the scripture, read the verse, and then those also help when you have your kids, and you can just quickly need a quick verse to disciple them in those heated moments as well. It's just a really quick thing that I've learned to do, and it's something that has helped.
Did you create those, or is there a site for those?
No, so this is, I think, some social media. These are just some examples of the ones that are on my phone. And yeah, I don't know. Theology for Mama, I guess, is one of them. But yeah, I just was scrolling through it one day and like, ooh, I like this. I want to keep this. And if I save it, I'm just going to lose it. So I save it to an album instead, and I put it on my home screen. So it's like, Mama, that is my folder for me. But you can also just search these online too, probably. So my final thoughts, just remember, it is a choice. God will meet you where you are at. If you want to incorporate God into your everyday life, then choose the Christian option when you can. You want to read your child a book? Read them a Bible story. You want to instill in your child a biblical worldview? Use a Bible-focused curriculum. You choose how much exposure you want to give to your children, and you choose what works for your family. The goal is not to add more to your plate, it's to tweak what you already are doing, and then you grow their faith when the questions start coming by exposing them to God and His Word. You are not just teaching this, you are living this. Thank you. Do I have time for questions?
You ended right on time, so you can do questions if you want.
All right. If you have any questions, feel
this
free.
This is Gabrielle Newman, Embracing God in the Money.
These are the resources I was talking about. And again, I also have it on, like,